Support for Faith Matters comes from the law offices of Mullen, Hoard, and Brown, LLP, offering a full range of legal services to regional and national clients. Mullen, Hoard, and Brown are members of ALFA International. More information is available at 765-7491 or mullenhoard.com.
Welcome to Faith Matters on KTTZ FM 89.1. Join us for a conversation about faith in everyday life. Support for Faith Matters comes from Covenant Medical Center, home of the Joint Ranch. Covenant provides a place where hip and knee patients come together for pre-surgery educational classes and then reconvene post-surgery for group therapy and rehabilitation. Now here's the host of Faith Matters, Tom McGovern.
I'm Tom McGovern, host of Faith Matters, and it's my delight this Sunday afternoon to have as my guest Dr. Richard Nolan. Richard is Executive Director of Libraries for the Texas Tech University Health Sciences Center. Welcome to our program.
Oh, thank you for having me.
And Richard, you know, so our listeners this afternoon have some sense of who you are. You've been in Lubbock for how long now, Richard?
Almost a year. Next month it'll be a year.
So it's an anniversary almost.
Of sorts, yeah. Yeah.
Before coming here, you were at Tennessee?
I was at the Health Sciences Library at the University of Tennessee in Memphis.
For how many years?
Oh, gosh, for 30 years.
Where are you from? Where were you born? What's your background?
I was born and raised in Michigan. That's where I grew up. Once I reached college age, you know, I started transitioning out of the house and into other things. I wanted to specialize in something that my father thought was really impractical. I wanted to study philosophy. My family background is German, so I wanted to study German and learn that, which I did. You know how reality has a way of taking over when you find out you have to actually pay to have a house or a roof over your head and food to eat and things like that. I went to the University of Pittsburgh eventually, and that was where I got a job in the library. At the time, I was studying the history and philosophy of science in their department. You know, I also met my wife while I was there. Though she finished her PhD dissertation before I did, got a job before I did. And so that took us out of Pittsburgh before I could finish. The library seemed like a good place for me. So I began thinking strategically, if the philosophy and HPS thing didn't work out, maybe something more practical like a library degree would be a good idea as well. And since I had the experience, and I was near a library school, that's what I did. And it was the library job that sustained us while we were in our early years of our marriage.
Thinking back, can you remember when you became acquainted with a library for the first time?
Yes. When I was still growing up in Michigan, we went to the library regularly. My father enjoyed getting novels, fiction basically, that he enjoyed reading. And he would take maybe 5 or 6 books a week out. I would go to him, and I became very familiar with the small-town library that we had. My hometown was Hillsdale, Michigan, which had a population then of about 7,000. So the library was quite a small place, but it was a whole world of things. That's where I started reading. I really was ambitious as a young man. I started reading Russian novels, Dostoevsky and Tolstoy and other things.
Before we came on air, we were reminiscing, and I remember my earliest introduction to a library at 5 or 6 or 7 years old, when the Carnegie Library, thank goodness for them, a small room in my small hometown of Cashel, County Tipperary, of 3,000 people then. Again, the marvel of the books and the wonder of the books. And you just were recounting a return from a visit from Boston recently about the Boston Public Library.
Yeah, it's just amazing. You mentioned Carnegie and all of the good works that were created through that philanthropic help that he provided so many cities. I went to Boston for a meeting. As I was walking to view the city on a break, I walked past the Boston Public Library, and I couldn't help but go inside as a librarian to see what it was like there. And it was full of people. They were all looking at their devices. Some of them were using the free internet access. Some of them were at the desktop computers doing things that you would expect at a public library. Young people doing school homework, older people looking for jobs, maybe applying for jobs or other things on government websites, but all of them actively using the library Everywhere you went in the library, wherever you looked, there were people using it. And as libraries evolve, they're beginning to create spaces where students, for example, can do the kind of individual quiet study that you're describing, but also places where small groups can get together and they can view slideshows and talk about, you know, what their professor said in a particular lecture and what he meant by it, and sort of reinforcing the learning process in each other in a small group way. And, you know, we're making arrangements for students to be able to do that as well.
One of my early court history teachers was lamenting when the great library of Alexandria burned down and how all learning of a civilization went up in smoke.
The whole learning of antiquity, it seemed like, was lost in that one fire that was further exacerbated by the Catholic Church. Didn't want certain books around, and so they discouraged them, and they went elsewhere. They went into the Arab world, where they were preserved and expanded on, and part of them became an active part of their learning.
So the passion for libraries was born early on in your heart.
It was. When I think about that first library, it never occurred to me in my wildest dreams that I would work there or be a librarian, but that was where I had my first exposure.
Richard, we'll take a short break, and then for our listeners, we will continue this intriguing conversation about books and libraries. Thank you.
You're listening to Faith Matters on KTTZ FM 89.1. Support for Faith Matters comes from Covenant Medical Center. More information on customized plans for joint replacement surgery is at covenanthealth.org/ortho.
Support for Faith Matters comes from Hospice of Lubbock, serving the 19-county South Plains region since 1986. The staff offers faith-based end-of-life care for both children and adult patients. More information is available at hospiceoflubbock.org.
Welcome back to Faith Matters on KTTZ FM 89.1. Here again is your host, Tom McGovern.
Welcome back to Faith Matters. I'm your host, Tom McGovern, and it's my delight this Sunday afternoon to have as our guest my friend and my colleague, Dr. Richard Nolan. There's been a revolution, of course, in communication. It's ongoing. And let's place libraries in there as they were maybe 10, 15 years ago in an academic setting or whatever setting. What was the role of the library as you would conceive of it?
Well, when I look back over my career, you know, I started in a world that was completely dominated by the print format. So books and journals, that was the focus of all of our library activities. With the advent of computer technology and the internet, all of that has changed. Now people get things digitally. One of the things I notice at Texas Tech, and it's true of other university libraries as well, is that faculty often don't come to the library anymore. They don't really have a reason to, because they can get everything they need right on the desktops of their computer in their offices. It sounds like an interesting change, but actually it's quite a profound one, because without the format of books, without the physical object to bring people to the library, then the role of the library, and in fact, the role of the librarians, is changing quite radically.
And of course, the whole format, like in the old days, you had to make provision for many patrons. Nowadays, the patrons are calling in or accessing what you have to computers.
They're not only getting the information that they need through their computers, but they're communicating that way as well, through email, through chat services, by texting us. We communicate with people across the Health Sciences Center in multiple ways that weren't available to us in the
multiple
past.
Multiple campuses. You don't have to have multiple holdings anymore. And of course, the collaboration between the libraries and all the great institutions, right, that we make the best use of the monies we have and the resources we have. Nowadays, what we carry in our pockets, you put in a name, you get the title, you get where it's available, and almost the whole thing. What a change.
It's a wonderful change that we're going through. It's a profound change. But the change that we're experiencing in the so-called information age is still ongoing. You know, there are still a lot of questions about how we're going to do things, you know, how it's going to change us, how publishers are going to provide content to their users and their customers, how we're going to communicate with each other, what the standards of are going to be for communicating with somebody.
And then how to maintain appropriate oversight of, you can find anything about anybody at any time nowadays, but Whereas the, I hate to use the word quality control, shall we say, but...
Those are all things that are being worked out. You know, as a historian, I'm interested in anything that I can get a hold of that will help me to find out what I want to know. In the paper world, that was pretty well done through correspondence. You know, everything was typed or written on paper, and that paper could be preserved. These days, when people communicate, digital communication that they're carrying out is so ethereal that it happens and then it disappears. Nobody's keeping it. How are future historians going to look back at this age and be able to evaluate what we are doing when all of the really important materials that they might want to make use of don't exist anymore?
When you were choosing books for the library in Tennessee, choosing journals, that was quite an arduous, quote, academically, politically charged undertaking, enterprise, what books you would put in, who you'd respond to. And how was that in those days? I'm just curious.
It was driven in a lot of ways. When you say politically, it was driven in a lot of ways by the amount of money that we had. You know, yeah. University fortunes go up and down with the state legislature. So if we have money that, you know, it's a relatively easy thing to acquire. But when you don't have money, or worse yet, when you're, some of that money is taken away from you and you have to reduce the collection, then it becomes very tricky. And then you have to be very good at communicating with your users to ask them, you know, we have to reduce the collection. Can we do without this or can we do without that? And make them part of the process.
As you look at collections, our collection at libraries in general, as we move towards a digital age, what are you going to keep in print and what are you going to put in digital?
The drive is toward digital. There are some libraries that are being created in schools, in new schools of medicine, which are referred to as born digital. They have no books or journals in paper format. Everything is electronic. And there are some libraries like the University of Michigan Medical Library. They've recently removed nearly all of their print collection. The only things that they kept were things that the faculty rose up about. Now, you can't just get rid of everything. You have to keep these things. So they do have some print things in the library, but that was not the original goal.
What print things should we keep?
The kinds of print things that I look for especially are the things that appeal to my historian's heart. Those are things that are about West Texas medicine in particular, or healthcare in West Texas. Things that are written by people from West Texas or that are printed by a West Texas printer. Apart from that, so many things are available online. You know, we're still working out the details of what we're going to keep and what we're going to remove.
Tony and I, my wife, have had this discussion, having chartered a library to California and back of books of mine. She said, what are we going to do with these books? She said, when you die, who's going to be interested in them?
And we still get those kinds of questions from faculty. You know, they either are cleaning out their library or someone in the family has died and they don't need the book. The family doesn't want them. So they ask us if we want them, and we have to be very careful. We'll take them on the condition that if it fills a gap in what we have, we'll keep it, but otherwise we may discard it. Another class of books that we might keep would include anything that was authored by a faculty member at TTU.
Wonderful. Richard, again, a short break, and we'll continue this fascinating conversation.
You're listening to Faith Matters on KTTZ FM 89.1. Support for Faith Matters comes from Covenant Medical Center. More information on customized plans for joint replacement surgery is at covenanthealth.org/ortho. The views, opinions, and comments that are expressed on this program are solely those of the host and guest and do not necessarily reflect or represent the views and opinions of KTTZ-FM, Texas Tech Public Media, Texas Tech University, Texas Tech University System, or our faculty and staff, our affiliates, our partners, and our sponsors.
Support for Faith Matters comes from Hospice of Lubbock, serving the 19-county South Plains region since 1986. The staff offers faith-based end-of-life care for both children and adult patients. More information is available at hospiceoflubbock.org.
Welcome back to Faith Matters on KTTZ FM 89.1. Here again is your host, Tom McGovern.
Welcome back to Faith Matters. It's my delight this Sunday afternoon to have as our guest Dr. Richard Nolan. Richard is Executive Director of Libraries for the overall health sciences center in many campuses and many cities. Can books survive in a paperless age?
Yes, I think so. I think that paper, despite the myth around digital media and all of the wonderful things that they provide, I think books still have an important place. As I was mentioning, there are students who come into my library who are in their 20s, who have never known a world in which there were books and paper formats. But they come into the library, they're very adept at using digital resources, but who will spend the extra couple of $100 to buy a medical textbook that they carry with them into the library and make it a part of their studying just because the book, the paper, offers them a way to review the information that they need in a way that is useful to them. They can mark marginal notes, they can underline things, they can do things in paper that they still can't do easily in electronic resources.
As you look to the present and the future, let's just kind of bring it down to the libraries that you have the responsibility and the leadership for. How do you conceive going forward in terms of library? I know you have an interest in archives. Tell us about that as one aspect.
The archives is extremely important to me because, as I say, I am a historian. But when you are looking for an answer to a question about how something came about in the past, archives are the first place that people go to get those answers. Later on, the information that archives supply is fashioned into a historical account that may appear as a narrative somewhere. That's the importance that archives perform. You know, when I look at libraries today and where they're going, I think the first thing we have to recognize is how important the information age is and how important digital access to information is. We have to embrace that.
When you typically buy a book for a library today, for the same price, can you get it both in digital form and in print form? Or do you have to buy both separately?
I'm not sure how to compare prices between print and digital.
Yeah.
They're available in both. I mean, there are some book publishers who've gone over to a completely electronic format. Many book publishers, however, still publish, interestingly enough, publish the paper edition and the electronic edition together. So that even though it's easier to make changes in an electronic version, they'll maintain the edition in electronic format so that, you know, there won't be any changes to the electronic format till the paper format can also be updated. I think that's going to change. I think it has to change. That's currently the format that they're doing it. But publishers are looking at new ways. So the idea of a book is going to change in the future. What that change is going to be is still being determined today by the changes that publishers are looking at. And some of it is going to be determined by how are they going to make their money and how people are going to use that format that they create.
Don't we need to have conversation between authors, researchers, publishers, libraries? The need for that community to come together.
Oh, that's absolutely true. I think there has to be that communication. I talk to vendors all the time, and I tell them what we need and why we need it. But they're bound by a different view of information. I mean, we're all looking at the same thing. We're all looking at information or content, as it's referred to now. But we're looking at it from our different perspectives. I look at it from the viewpoint of somebody who accumulates, organizes it, and makes it available. The vendors look at it from the point of view is of what format can we provide? How can we do that? And they're in a for-profit field. And researchers, clinicians are looking at it again from a different point of view. They want access to it, and they're not worried about the money. That creates a whole different set of circumstances. Everybody's looking at it from the viewpoint of copyright. Who owns this content and how can we make it available to our users? And, you know, researchers don't do it because they want to own it. They want to give it away. Vendors want to own it so that they can sell it. I just want to make it available.
So there you stand as a distributor, yeah? Yeah,
as a kind of distributor, that's
right. Yeah, kind of making it available to the population that...
So I stand sort of between the two worlds, trying to negotiate between them.
When librarians get together in your own world of your own responsibility, what do you talk about?
We talk about the way that our profession is changing. And the biggest change, I think, for us, and this is all part of the evolutionary process of information in this information age, what we talk about is how we can improve services. I remember when we lived in a book world, we were primarily concerned with a physical object that could be brought into the library, organized, made available, checked out so that people could use it and brought back in and recirculated. We can't do that anymore. We don't distribute physical objects. And without that physical object, there's no reason to come to the library. So our focus has shifted away from efficiently organizing physical objects to efficiently organizing the services that we provide. We're much more of a service-oriented profession than we've ever been. What I tell my librarians is that it's not enough for us to come to work every day and work in the library. We also have to go out to where the users are and take our expertise to where they are and make it available to them that way. It's a different way of looking at the world today than we did in the paper
world. I love
world.
You do that so elegantly by being available to students, faculty, you know, the service provided by the health sciences is magnificent, and I want to compliment you for that.
Oh, thank you.
May we conclude that books will survive, Richard?
I believe they will. I believe they will. I think that there will be a niche market for finely printed books. They won't be printed in the same way they were in the past, not mass-produced, but I think that's one area that is going to continue. I think there's a practicality to paper that is going to survive into the digital age in a way that is still evolving, but I think it's certain. I don't think it's going to go away.
I'm so glad because, like Chuck was sharing, the wonder that his wife has in the printed page and the book and the physical touch of a book. So long may it survive. And kudos to you and to the librarians down through the ages who have been such a magnificent repository and sharer of the human story and of the human experience. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
You've been listening to Faith Matters on KTTZ FM 89.1 with your host, Tom McGovern. Support for Faith Matters comes from Covenant Medical Center, home of a full range of orthopedic services, including Joint Ranch. Join us next Sunday for another edition of Faith Matters on KTTZ FM 89.1, a service of Texas Tech Public Media.